the first month, first Sunday of the month, and it's Real Men Sing Real Loud. So we have all the men that are willing to come up onto the stage and we sing on him. So if you're willing, come on up.
To see you folks here this morning, a little bit of cooler weather today, but I promise you, just like yesterday, it's going to warm up in the afternoon. I mean, Lord willing, it'll heat up in here in about 35 minutes when I start preaching. Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. It is the first Sunday of the month, so Real Men Sing Real Loud. We will not have a prophecy update this week, but we will have one next month. And so you keep Brother Smith, even though he may have moved away, he's still staying in contact. And it'll either be live or we'll do it via video, but we will have one next month as well. But we're glad you're here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer that our men will sing for you this morning. Father, we do love you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your provisions. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us today as this first Sunday of the month and Real Men Sing Real Loud. Lord, I pray that you help us as we sing and minister to our church family. Pray that you help us as a congregation as we lift our voices in worship and praise this morning. Lord, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved. And on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May any Christian who is struggling, Lord, be encouraged and challenged from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let us love one another, for love.
Said that was the first time we did that. So please be seated, and we're going to have our children's choir sing.
This morning, my mind is running wide open this morning, not about the message, about some other things that I want to include. Before we get to the announcements, I want to say something. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word purpose, it means the reason something is done or something that is used. And, you know, there's a purpose for everything that we try to do here around Harvest, from the music that we use, the course for the month that we use, the Sunday school lessons that we're teaching. And if you'll notice some of my preaching, my preaching and some of the songs on Sunday morning, as well as some other studies we have during the week, we're hoping that they intertwine and enforce one another to help us as a church, because our theme, as we've talked about this year, is faith, family, and fellowship, and wanting to get people involved in areas of our church, pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, proclamation care. And so I'm preaching and teaching and doing things and singing songs and choruses that I hope that overlap, that encourage us and help us. And last week in the bulletin, I put a little insert in and another one in this week to follow up on that about relationships. And then it'll be for the next couple of weeks before I finish. And the bottom line is, we are only as strong as a church as the relationships that we build within our church family as well. Getting to know one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another. You know someone in the church is having surgery. If you have their information, you can get it. You know, send them out a phone call or a text message. Let them know you're praying for them. Afterwards, find out how things went. Is there anything I can do to help you or to encourage you? And I know that it means a lot to me during the season when we have, whether y'all honor me on my birthday, anniversary, pastor appreciation. It always encourages me. And so I know that it must encourage you when you know people are aware of what you may be going through, that you're praying for you and trusting the Lord to heal you and to raise you up or to help you for whatever troubles you may be going through. And I really want us to focus more on those aspects of relationship. So I want to encourage you before I start these announcements. I'm not going to twist any arms. I'm going to encourage you through this year to learn something about me as your pastor that you don't know now. Also encourage you to learn something about someone who sits in your section of the auditorium that you know, or someone that you talk to frequently during fellowship. Try to find out something about them that you don't know. And what helped me remember this, the Robinson family mentioned they went somewhere the other day, and Miss Kitty said, yeah, I thought of you, Pastor, the other day. And Rob said, I didn't think of you at all. But here's why she thought of me, because there's two things she knows I like, barbecue and ice cream. They went to a new barbecue restaurant, and they went to a homemade ice cream place, thought of me, and I appreciated that. So she said, I almost sent you a picture. And I said, well, you should have, but she didn't want me to go out and look for barbecue and ice cream myself. But just the thought that I was thought of is encouraging. So let me encourage you to learn something, and I want to try to learn something about you as well. That means I'm going to have to be in your life. You're going to have to say hello or hello back when I talk to you. Get to know one another, but try to learn something about one another that we may not only pray for, but just something that you know we have an interest in, whether it be a hobby, a different activity, or whether it be a meal or a favorite pie or whatever it may be. Oh, speaking of pie, my favorite is German chocolate upside down. Cake, not pie, but dessert. But anyway, just throw that. So that's one thing you've learned already and didn't even have to ask me. But learn something else. Again, someone behind you, in front of you, sits next to your section, someone you see regularly in the community here, attends our church. But let me encourage you to work on and building relationships with one another. All right, so we'll get to our announcements this morning. Again, just a reminder, we do have men's prayer on Sunday morning at 8:30 over in the fellowship hall. Gentlemen, you're welcome to join us for a short time of prayer, usually 20 to 30 minutes. We share requests and then come over for Sunday school. Ladies Sunday school class is 8:50 for ladies. Sunday school starts at 9. The ladies start a little earlier because her teacher is long-winded and she needs a little more time. So they start at 8:50. And for those of you who may be visiting, that's my wife. But her Sunday school class starts at 8:50 and a regular class starts at 9. And then choir practice today, choir 4:15 here in the auditorium. And our evening service at 6. And we'll continue with the theme and the thought of, do you really know what you believe about? And tonight will be heaven. I heated things up last Sunday. I'll try to cool things off a little this week. Last week was hell. This week will be heaven. And then our men's coffee fellowship, gentlemen, if you got something to write with, our men's coffee fellowship. And I'll try to work on getting a slide for that in the future to make it easy for you. But Luke chapter 6, verse 23 through 26. Luke chapter 6, verse 23 through 26. Those of you visiting with us, those that have a day off during the week or retired on Tuesday mornings, we meet for coffee and donuts and fellowship, and we have some discussion around the table. And so here's, I want to give you a phrase and then a question for our discussion. You'll find in Luke 6, 23 through 26, you'll see four woes. You'll see four woes. And the question for our discussion is your commitment to God stronger than your desire for the praise and approval of men? Is your commitment to God stronger than the desire for the praise and approval of men? Luke 6, 23 through 26. And then our midweek Bible study, we're going through the book of Proverbs, and our word or verb or adjective we're using now is acceptance or approval. We started that last week. We'll continue again on Wednesday night as we talk about it. As I made the comment for those who weren't there this past Wednesday night, isn't it amazing we live in a world today that people go online, social media, to seek for approval and acceptance from people they don't even know? Our acceptance and approval is found in Christ and in our relationships within our local church and Christian community that we're in. So let me encourage you for that. Ladies Bible study begins up this week again, every single Thursday, in this building right next door in the fellowship hall. A ladies Bible study Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock. Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, we have our game night coming up February the 27th, a family fellowship, church family fellowship. We'll be playing Family Feud, the friendly version of Family Feud, and that's February the 27th, 6 o'clock, again, over in the fellowship hall. And then also, if you'll mark your calendar for the month of March, March the 28th is our next church-wide activity. We'll have a sign-up sheet coming up here in the foyer, but we're going to have a progressive dinner. We'll meet here at the church. We'll go somewhere for some appetizers and fellowship. Then we'll go somewhere for the main meal, and then we'll come back to the church fellowship hall for a time of fellowship and dessert, and that is on the 28th of March. And, of course, our missions conference at the end of April the 29th through May the 3rd with the theme, Reach the World One Soul at a Time. Please, if it's not on your prayer list, put it on your prayer list to be praying for our missions conference as missionaries will be traveling and to be with us. And then pray for safety and for the Lord to use them to challenge and to stir our hearts for missions. All right, I think that's all the announcements I have. If you have a hymn book or you see the words on the screen there, hymn number 258, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Trusting in your faithfulness and to the Lord and giving your tithes and offering this morning, we'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings. God has been good to us here. Really excited what the Lord's going to do here in the new year. If you've noticed over this past year, we closed out. We finished up the remodel of the fellowship hall. If you noticed when you came in this morning, there's not the cracks and the holes and the divots in the parking lot anymore. That was repaired this past week. And we added some rock and other beautification. And this year, we're going to be doing some more things throughout the year and beautification. Of course, the building's painted, the wall painted over here. We'll be doing a few other projects and so grateful the Lord has blessed us that we're able to do that. And we also have some men and others in the church have been volunteered to volunteer some of their time to help offset some of the costs of some of those things. So looking forward to what else the Lord has for us and some of the work here in our church facilities. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings. Brother Kevin, do you please pray for us?
And mercy and love that you have shown us and give us every day so freely. But at this time in our service, Lord, we take a moment to give back a small amount for the furtherance of your kingdom here on this earth and in heaven. Father, this is just a small thing that you ask of us, but it's a big impact in the world. We ask, Lord, that these funds will be used to, like I said, further your kingdom, that we'll bless others, keep our church running smooth. And we just want to give this a little bit back to you. We do so with joy and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name.
Go to the Lord in prayer together. We pray and ask God's blessing on the service, as well as I pray for our men, and they pray for me as well this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we come before thy throne this morning with grateful hearts, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity you've given us to serve you. Thank you for the wonderful facilities that you've given us here at Harvest Baptist Church, and I praise you and thank you for them. Thank you for the means you have provided for us to be able to keep up in beautification here around the facilities, Lord, to keep things looking nice. And Father, help us with that in mind to do our part as well, to make sure that we're keeping our life, our testimony, our walk with you where it needs to be, that we be pleasing and honoring the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you be with our families this morning, some that are out sick, some that are traveling on vacation, that you would be with them, heal them and raise them up. Those who are on traveling, that you give them safety. And then, Lord, I pray that you would bless our workers here this morning. What a joy it is to have those who are laboring in children's ministry, those in the nursery, those that are a part of a parishioner care aspect of security and protecting our grounds and our congregation. Lord, we are so grateful for those willing to serve in those capacities. Father, we thank you for our ladies at Harvest Baptist Church and for their labors of love and supporting their pastor, his wife, and their husbands and their family here at Harvest Baptist Church. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them as they labor and pray for their church. Father, I pray that you would be with our men as well, that you would help them, encourage them, strengthen them, Father. Pray that you protect their eyes, their ears, their tongue, Father, their lifestyle, that they'd be a shining example at home, in their community, here at church. I pray that you would protect them from sin and physical harm and distress. I pray that you'd help them from harming others. But Lord, they'd have the upright walk and testimony that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord Jesus. And then, Father, I pray that you once again would just bless every aspect of the ministry at Harvest, from our Sunday school, our children's ministry, to our preaching, Father, our men and women's Bible studies, Lord, that we have through the week. And Lord, we're so grateful for those that are involved and share their talents and insights, and from the choir to the special music. Lord, we are so blessed. And now, Lord, we do ask that you would help me this morning. Pray that you bless the reading of your word. Pray that you give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech this morning, and help me to preach the word as you have given to me, Lord, in my time in preparation of study. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone here that doubts their salvation, that they don't know that they know that they know that they're saved, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who is discouraged, Father, may be struggling some area, that they may be encouraged and strengthened, Father, to stand up and to stand upright and to continue on serving and living for the Lord. And Father, those that are here this morning, I know that aren't feeling well. Nothing that is contagious, just not feeling well. Have the aches and the pains and the discomforts that come sometime during the winter and sometimes at the age of life. And Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness to be here and desire to worship you. And I pray that you strengthen them. Help us all to put away the cares and concerns of the world that we have, that we may prepare our hearts and mind for the preaching of your word. Now, Father, bless as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Before Miss Cheryl comes and sings for us, 2 John verse 8. And we'll read the whole verse. When we finished up that first phrase, look to yourself, last week, we spent 3 weeks on look to yourselves. We'll go to that next phrase for the next few weeks. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but we receive a full reward.
To be be a servant. Jesus, can you use me?
Thank you, Miss Cheryl. I've got an outline this morning. I do plan on getting to it eventually. And if I go a little late, I'll just cut it off and pick up next week. But just want to take a moment and tell you a little bit about what's going on. And then I'm going to have Michelle talk a little bit about the Bible study, give her a chance to make an announcement about the ladies' Bible study that's coming up. In our Sunday school class for the men, we are starting a new series on relationships. And that we started this morning with introduction. We'll go on from there. And we don't know what we're going to do. We may be doing some tag teaming. Brother Mel started this morning with the introduction. And we'll be teaching at least through the first chapter. And we'll go from there. Some others that would like to tag team and play a part in trying to get more men involved in ministering and using their talents. And then on Tuesday mornings, of course, it's a different topic every week. I really have no method to my madness. I just pray through the week. And during my devotions and my prayer time, I say, Lord, if there's something that would be good for the men, let me show me and make it real. And then I make note of that. Or some of you men have a topic you would like to talk about and you come to me, then we put it on the agenda as well and let you lead it. And as we try to get people involved. So I'm going to take Michelle. Why don't you go ahead? You got a microphone there, right? And tell about the new ladies Bible study Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock in the topic.
So Thursday mornings, where we start a new ladies Bible study. We're going to be doing the book of Philippians. We're going to kind of start off who wrote the book, why he wrote the book, what was going on in his time when he wrote the book, and how that book can apply to our lives today. And then once we get through the book of Philippians, we'll probably go back and forth from characters in the Bible to books of the Bible. So it's a great time of fellowship. We have time. We laugh a lot. We those that come on our Women of Prayer once a month, you know what a tight circle that the Ladies of Harvest has become, and we're always looking for new faces to join. So 10 o'clock Thursday morning over in the Fellowship Hall.
Yeah. And that's also Michelle's favorite book of the Bible. So you come, she has studied it, she's memorized much of it and studying, so I know she'll do a good job and you'll enjoy that. As I mentioned before, the Lord's just put some things in my heart. I really will get to the outline. But there's some things that I think sometimes we forget about, and we take for granted. And we live in a world today that is just chaotic. And I mentioned, I think, this past Sunday night or Wednesday night, how it's become pretty much us versus them, them versus us. And when you think about it, where's my haven? Where can I go to? And when I go home to my house and close the door, I know what I can expect. I know what's there. And when the grandkids are there and it gets too loud, I can just go back in my bedroom and close the door as well. But I can find a place to get away from the world. I don't have to turn on the TV. I don't have to turn on the computer. Don't have to turn on the radio. And when I arrive in my little community out there in Tartesso, I know I'm getting closer to home. I know that I have a haven there. I've got a wife that's there. I have a family that's there sometimes. My daughter and her family live a half mile up the road, and sometimes they're there. A little more chaotic when they're there, but a different type of chaotic. I'm referring to the world. You know, it should be the same way when we come to church. When we pull in this parking lot, we should know what we can expect. We know that we're going to be singing traditional hymns that honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be worshiping together and not looking for a performance on the stage. We've come here to worship. We know that we can expect preaching and teaching from the Word of God without apology. Amen. And I want it to stay that way. There's things that we should be able to expect in our lives. It should be in our homes. When we get in our vehicle, we'll close the door and make our way down. We control everything there. When we come to church, it should be the same way that we anticipate and we know what we can expect week after week, service after service, because our desire is to honor and please the Lord Jesus and everything we do. Not draw attention to self, not to deflect attention another way, but purely what the Bible has to say. Now, I know that I put things on the screen often. I have handouts sometimes. There's Bibles in the pews as well if you don't have one. But I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible, to use it. I am on a second or third Bible, and most of my Bibles are all marked up, highlighted. In fact, my kids are jockeying for position one day if I want to get rid of it or pass on who gets it. That should be that way with your Bible as well. Marked up, prayed over. In fact, if you have a Bible and you've had it for a while, when you open it, it should smell a little musty from your tears. It should be a little faded from those tears. It should be marked up from reading it and making little notes, whether it's from your devotions or the preaching and you're making notes and highlights of that message. There's just some things that my kids expect. When my grandkids come over and my daughter comes over, sometimes my door is open, sometimes it's closed, but it doesn't matter if it's open or closed. The girls know they come to the door, even Jovi, who's wound up tight all the time. You met her, you know what I'm talking about. They stop at the door frame and they knock on the door or the door frame if it's open, because they know that Papaw is studying. They know Papaw's in there studying or praying or working on something, and they want to come in and see me. But every time they come, just because, if no other reason, just because they knock and wait, I put a pin in it and say, "Yes, sweetheart, what do you need?" And they come in and they crawl up on my lap, and they know what they get when they walk into Papaw's office. I'm going to crawl up on his lap. I'm going to hug him, kiss him, tell him I love him. He's going to do the same for me. They're going to spend a couple minutes, and they're going to be off to Graham's looking for a snack. It doesn't matter what time of the day is. That's the order of it. They can expect and know what's going to happen. And we should be able to anticipate and expect the same thing when we come to the house of God. A time of worship, a time of praise, a time of preaching and teaching of the Word of God that sometimes might be a little uncomfortable, but still should be, "Thank you, Lord." It's going to be hopefully uplifting and challenging. In those times, there's nothing wrong with a hearty amen. There's nothing wrong with an "oh me" when it's a little sharp or pointed or steps on your toes. But we should expect and anticipate those things. And I hope and pray as you pray for me as part of your pastoral care, is praying for your pastor, that the Lord will give me, it's a fearful thing to say, but to pray, "Lord, help my pastor to give me what I need today. Not what I want, but what I need that will sharpen me and that will help me." All right, that was absolutely free, extra this morning. We'll get to the outline this morning. As I said, I've got a few points. I can always stop if I need to and pick up next week. But I wanted to share that this morning. We've read our text. We have had a word of prayer. And just want to emphasize once again, we spent 3 weeks on that first phase, look out and examine yourself. And then we're going to go on to the next portion. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. So point number two, or the theme for the next few weeks, is hold on to what you have gained. Hold on to what you have gained. See, the word wrought here means to work, to labor, to accomplish. John encourages us to be on guard about losing what we have accomplished and worked for together in what the Lord has done in our lives, referring to a church family, a congregation. See, Satan cannot gain your soul if you are a Christian, but he can rob you of the many blessings that God intends for you to have in your life. See, Satan will destroy what God has accomplished in your life if you give him an opportunity for temptation or deception. And John warns us. He says before, remember, look out. Then how he says to hold on to what you have gained. In John's day, false prophets were being used by Satan to create doubt in the hearts of Christians and provide distractions from doing the will of God. And he still does that today. And you say, "Oh, Pastor, we don't have that many distractions. Let me help you out." Put away your phone for a whole day, especially if you have a smartphone. Put it away. Don't pick it up for a few hours. There's so many distractions that keeps us from concentrating on the main thing. John says, look out. There are too many wonderful things that Satan's desire to snatch from you or cause you to go backwards in your faith. John says, don't lose what you have worked to accomplish. Don't lose what you have worked to accomplish. Let me put it another way. If you are working on losing weight, which I am still working on losing more weight, I don't want to gain what I've lost. I want to keep going down where I'm going. And in my spiritual life, I want to continue to move forward and to make sure that I'm holding on to and not losing what I've worked to gain. And as a church, what we have worked to accomplish these last 3 years that I've been your pastor, entering our fourth year, faith, family and fellowship and reaching and laboring together. We want to build on what we have gained and not lose. A couple of things to help in that area. Number one, don't lose clarity of God's truth. Boy, I tell you, the first time I heard this phrase, I'm going to use it here in just a moment. It just aggravated me, but I hate it when I hear my truth. When you hear somebody say my truth, go ahead and turn them off because they're not going to give you anything worth having or listening to. It's God's truth. See, if you allow the influence of deception and lies by the ungodly, doubt and unbelief will cloud God's truth and the clarity you enjoy from God's word. The Bible tells us don't add to it, don't take away, but we need to make sure, as you've heard me say before, whoever has your ear will steer your Christian life. Make sure it's God's truth of His Word. Confusion and wrong thinking will replace clarity and lead to foolishness and not godliness. Hold on to what you have gained. Build upon that foundation when where you trusted Christ and followed the Lord and believers' baptism, went through a discipleship program, or going through one and building block after block of that which you've gained that you may not lose ground. Paul rebuked the church of Galatia for allowing this to creep in into their lives. He says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you." Again, O foolish Galatians. Let's not be involved in, oh, foolish Harvest family. Let's make sure that we're pressing on and moving forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 19. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." Dear friends, don't lose the clarity of God's truth. And the best way to hold on to that clarity is to continue to build upon it. Memorizing Scripture, reviewing Scripture that you know, learning new Scripture in areas that you might be struggling with in your Christian walk, memorizing Scripture that may help someone else in their Christian walk. But say, "Lord, help me not to lose the clarity of Your Word, that it might be fresh on my heart and fresh in my mind." Number two, don't lose a conscience void of offense. Again, we live in a world today that I can't remember the last time I saw somebody blush in the world. I'm not talking about here in our circle. Being right with God and man provides a conscience void of offense or a clear conscience. It gives you freedom to serve the Lord and minister to others. You see, a clear conscience will restore your credibility if you have damaged it by foolish behavior. You see, when a person has a clear conscience, it does not mean he is perfect, because no one other than our Savior is perfect. Are you able to lay your head down at night with a clear conscience and be able to rest? Or are you restless and tossing because there are some things in your life that you know that you need to turn over to the Lord? Or some things the Lord has been dealing with you and you haven't straightened it out the way you know God would have you to do? You see, a clear conscience is crucial for serving God and having joy in our lives. When you have a clear conscience, no one can point a finger at you and say, "You've wronged me. You took advantage of me. You treated me harshly, and you haven't made things right." But a clear conscience will keep folks from saying that. This is why Paul made it a priority in his life. Paul said in Acts chapter 24, in verse number 16, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Dear friends, if we're going to strive in our life to hold on to those things which we have gained spiritually in our Christian walk, we need to make sure that we don't lose clarity of God's truth. We need to make sure that we don't lose a conscience void of offense. And then number three, don't lose your credibility among men. Boy, how important our testimony is. I think sometimes we forget the volume that our testimony can speak in our lives as people observe and watch us. Credibility gives strength to your message. Credibility does not mean everyone will always listen when you talk about the Lord, but some will. But some will. If you are a hypocritical, hateful, or have questionable habits, then most folks are not going to give you a listening ear. Satan, see, he desires to trap you and to trap us into a sinful living in order to destroy our effectiveness in witness for Christ. Notice what our Lord challenges and warns Peter about in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that you fail not. I don't know if you grew up on a farm. I don't know if you grew up in a time where you know what I'm talking about. But to sift here, I know when we lived on the mission field, we would sift our flour to check for boll weevils and filter them out. We would sift our sugar beets for sugar to get some of the bits and pieces out that wasn't sugar to make sure it was safe to drink, to consume, and to mix. And I guess a few boll weevils in your flour won't kill you, and a little extra protein, but you really don't want to know if they're there or not. But we would sift that, or Michelle would sift that, and sometimes I would help her as we would go out and buy this. We buy the stuff by 50 pounds at a time with our beet sugar and with our flour. We'd have to store it and sift it and put it away. And that sifting is looking for things that aren't right and doesn't belong. And the Lord is telling, warning Satan, that Satan has a desire to sift you, that he might see your weaknesses and pick at them, to point them out, to remind you of your weaknesses and your frailties. Because if you're distracted with those things, you're not serving and living for the Lord. If he can discourage you and cause you to back away, well, how can I do that? Well, nothing is worse for a Christian to criticize and be hard on another Christian who is trying to live for and serve the Lord by pointing out their weaknesses. But instead, like the Lord says, but I have prayed for you. While others may be sifting you, while others may be picking and poking and prodding and being critical, the Lord says, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And dear friends, if our Lord is praying for us while we're being sifted by Satan, and by the way, the sifter that I mentioned, one we have is about so round and about that deep with a screening on the bottom, that's not the type of sifter Satan uses. Satan uses other Christians. He uses other non-believers and other people, your family members, to sift you, to show you, to show him and to point out. Sadly, when you're being used as a sifter by Satan, you're not in the role that God wants you to be. Come on now. You're not in the role. And God doesn't want you to be critical of one another, critical of others, but he wants us like him, the example he set. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. It is so important to live a consistent, godly Christian life. And it should help us to know and to realize that Jesus is interceding for us. Not only is he interceding for all of us, we should be interceding for one another as well. Don't lose your credibility. Fall back and know that others are praying for you. You guard your testimony, guard your walk, that God could use you. Don't ruin your testimony by losing your credibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, as Paul writes to young Timothy, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. In other words, we should be living like a Christian should be living. If a lost person wants to know how a Christian should talk, they should hear you speaking right. If he wants to know how a Christian lives and behaves, they should be able to watch your life and see by example of how a Christian should live. Don't lose your clarity in God's truth. Don't lose your conscience void of offense. Don't lose your credibility among men. And number four, don't lose your compassion and zeal for the Lord. Do not allow that excitement, that zeal for the Lord to be dampened or to be put out. Satan desires to get your focus off Christ and on trivial and worldly things. John again writes, look to yourself that you lose not those things which you have wrought. Those things that we've accomplished, those things that we have gained, those areas that we have grown in. We don't want to go backwards. We want to keep going forward. The Christian should always be moving forward and not in retreat. He wants, again, to slow down your spiritual growth and your devotion for Christ. He doesn't want you to be committed to the Savior. You see, if he can quench your love for Christ, he can quench your zeal. If he can take away and allow you to slip in your love and faithfulness to the Lord, he'll take away your zeal and your ability to witness and make a difference to others. This happened in the church of Ephesus. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Paul instructed or warned them about spiritual warfare, yet they were defeated because they became apathetic. Do we still have the desire and the zeal and the compassion in our life of serving the Lord and serving others and reaching others for the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't lose your clarity. Don't lose your conscience, your credibility, your compassion and zeal for the souls of men or the Lord. And then number 5, don't lose your concern for the lost. God's will for all of us is to be fruitful in reaching others for Christ. We should have a desire to see all men saved as our Lord does. I know, and I've said this before, there are some folks that are really hard to love, but we are to love one another. There are some folks that we think, how can God ever change them? Dear friends, I'm telling you, you've met folks, I have met folks, you know people here that have met other folks that used to be tyrants, that used to just be ugly men or women, but the God changed their life. And God is still in the life-changing business. And he desires to use us to make a difference. Again, if you become apathetic about people dying and going to hell, you won't make any effort to see them saved. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. John chapter 15 and verse 16, the first part. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Don't lose your burden for the souls of men. Don't lose your burden for giving to our missions program as our missionaries are going out around the world, and we read those letters on Sunday and Wednesday night about churches being established, souls being changed, and lives being saved and lives being changed. The Lord reminds us and challenges us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Can you imagine a world today? Can you imagine a community today where everyone knew the Lord? Where everyone was desiring to grow in the Lord and live for the Lord? I know that's not reality, but that should be our desire to see things change one soul at a time, making a difference in one life at a time. Don't lose your concern for the lost world. Don't lose your concern for the unsaved person, cashier, hardware worker, wherever, gas station, wherever you may go in your life, your neighbor. Don't lose your concern for their soul. And then number 6, don't lose your calmness. Yes, this is easier said than done in the chaotic world that we live in. Having peace and calmness is a huge blessing that comes by knowing you're saved and walking with God. When you get home, as I started off with my little pre-intro, shutting off the things of the world, you control the atmosphere, you control what's going on in your home, you have that aspect and ability to keep things calm, to keep calm and carry on. It should be the same way when you come to church. We can lock out the things of the world. Maybe the chaotic traffic we were in before we got here. Maybe some chaos that took place along the road or maybe the news. And I'll tell you what, I do my best to not turn on the news or read the news on Sunday morning. I do my best to clear my mind for the whole day as well as on Wednesday. I don't need some of that stuff clouding things in my mind. I just want to focus on my church family in the house of God. Again, having peace and calmness is a huge blessing. God provides the peace and calm in the midst of the storms that we face. When we are walking with God, there is not a need to fear the storms as they are under his command. There's a song I believe Ron Hamilton wrote, there's no need to fear when Jesus is near. The very storms that are out there that were created by him, and he can help us. He can help us through the storm. Why go around a storm? Why run from tragedy and a storm that's your life when you can just reach out and say, Lord, help me as I walk through this storm? Psalm 107, verse 28 and 29. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. See, peace can be lost when your life is entangled with wrong priorities and sinful choices. When we're going through trials and temptation, we're going through difficulties, sometimes it's good to take a step back and say, Lord, where are my priorities? Am I looking at this through clarity of God's truth? Is my conscience clear of offense? Am I keeping my credibility, my testimony among my neighbors and my family and my peers? Lord, is my passion for the zeal for the Lord and my love for you and spending time with you where it needs to be? Again, in your concerns for the lost. What is it that we hunger for and search for as we serve the Lord? Isaiah refers to this peace coming from God. He says in Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, hold on, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, it's just like we slip a gear when we go from childhood. We skip a little bit when we go to the teen years and we go to our adult years. You know, again, I know I use my grandchildren a lot and as examples. There's four of them here. And it doesn't matter what's going on. When we moved from our above-ground pool to our in-ground pool, our girls were still using floaties, and I had the privilege of teaching my granddaughters how to swim. And they would be terrified. And they knew they would not get in the water unless they put on their floaties or had a raft before they could get in. And if they wanted to take them off, they would say, Mom, can I take my floaties off? Papa said he would take care of me. They would have no problems jumping in the deep end because they knew Papa was there. If they went to the bottom, they wouldn't be there long because I'd get them. They knew I was helping them to swim, and they all learned how to swim underwater before they learned how to swim on top of the water. Because I figured if they could swim under the water to begin to sink, they'd just take off swimming. They knew how to do that underwater, just hold your breath. But the point I'm trying to make, they had no fear as long as I was in the water or sitting on the side of the pool. They would just jump right in. And dear friends, that same type of faith that they put in me, we need to make sure that we're having and exercising that same kind of faith in our storms of life as we put it in the Lord Jesus. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Dear friends, disobedience does lead to sin and a loss of peace in our lives. Jeremiah 18:15, we looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. You see, dear friends, peace comes from keeping our focus on the Lord, loving his word, and making him first in our life. Do we still look to him in our storms of life? Do we still look to him in our everyday simple things of life, or only in the storms? See, if we look to him for each little thing every single day of our life, it'll be no concern of whether he'll be there during the storms, because he's there in the little things. I know he'll be there in the more difficult things. Again, great peace in Psalm 119:65, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Again, in Isaiah 26:3, before we close, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Where is our faith? Hold on to what you have gained. Take that Christian growth in your life and build upon it. Don't be satisfied to be here. Don't be satisfied with being down one day and down again and then back up again, then back up again and then down another day and then back up. No, stay steady and look for an opportunity to grow a little more each and every day of my life. I am not going to be satisfied with my Christian growth. I'm not going to be satisfied with my closeness to the Lord. I'm not going to be satisfied until I know that I'm at the pinnacle And by the way, that will not be reached until the trump sounds or the Lord takes us home. Just keep climbing up for the Lord. Hold on, he says. Look out. Hold on to what you have gained. So we close this morning. I'm going to challenge you to evaluate your Christian life and where you're at today and say, Lord, help me to grow a little more. Help me to hold on to what I have and then to add to it. Add the protein, the steak and potatoes, the meat and potatoes of the Word to your life and say, Lord, give me the protein that I need to continue moving up. But if you found yourself maybe not where you used to be, as we talked about, used to be last week, say, Lord, help me to get back to where I was and to continue to build upon that. Again, a loving warning to heed, as John says, look out and examine yourselves. But then he says, hold on to what you have gained. Let's stand together for prayer this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll have a word of prayer and just a brief moment of invitation. As the Lord speaks to your heart, whether you stand there or here at an altar, you'd like to pray, to thank the Lord for the message, thank the Lord for those in your life that has encouraged you and challenged you, whether you want to just come and say, Lord, help me, whatever that may be, you respond as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Help each of us to strive to hold on to what we have gained in our Christian faith and walk. Help us to be pleasing to you and look for your truth in no one else's. Now, Father, bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed for just a moment, and piano is playing, and God has spoken to your heart this morning. We've got folks that are working through a discipleship program, and some folks that have finished up and looking to go on to something a little more in detail. We've got others that are mentoring and those that are serving in other capacities. But my quest again for you this morning is, are you holding on and building upon what you have gained? Are you allowing the Lord to use you? This morning, you do business with the Lord as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. Only trust Him. The Lord is speaking your heart because He knows what you need. He's only trying to help you through a storm, through a difficulty, through a hardship in your life. Allow Him to do that. Your minds are clear. You can look this way. We may be closing the public invitation, but if there's, again, as I always say each and every week, and I mean this with all of my heart, the Lord loves you and I love you, and if I can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. I'm only a phone call away, a text away, an email. If you call and the phone is not answered by me or a receptionist, leave a message because I may be on the phone with somebody else, or maybe with a canceling appointment. But I will promise I will follow back up with you. If you'd like to talk more about the church, like having more information about the church, or just want to find out something about me that you didn't know, whatever that may be. But let me encourage you to work on building relationships with one another. Strive to do what you can as we grow together as a church, faith, family, and fellowship. And all that, Christ being the center of all those things. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back with Miss Michelle. Meet you folks as you come out. So glad you're here. Don't forget tonight, 4:15, choir practice or evening service tonight. And do you really know what you believe about heaven tonight? And so I'll make my way to the back, and this we'll pray and ask God to dismiss us with His love. And again, if I can help you in any way, please do not